Rebel Yell Online. Brought to you by some of the Georgia flaggers who support the real Georgia flag. These folks have put together an online store for your shopping pleasure that includes some of the most unique Southern items that you're ever going to find. Oh, you'll find the usual Confederate shirts, hats, and flags, but that ain't all. Listen to this. 9 different Southern gift baskets for all your holidays, birthdays, and special occasions. Like these. The Redneck Starter Kit. Rebel with a Cause. Rebel Gramps. Rebel Granny. Redneck Mama. Rebelicious in the Sun. Confederate Cook, Southern Belle, and Dixie Darlin'. And while you're on the site, don't miss our famous Confederate flag birdhouses. Do your shopping with Rebel Yell Online and rest assured they'll continue to support rooting out all the scalawags and carpetbaggers in Dixie. That's Rebel Yell Online at www.rebelyellonline.com.
Welcome back to the Information Corner. Here are your hosts, Sam and Trish.
Okay, we're back into the second hour of the broadcast, and I want to mention, please support our sponsor there, Rebel Yell Online. They keep the broadcast on the air. They help fund our time on the air. So anyway, please support them. We appreciate all they have done to help the Information Corner stay on Dixie Broadcasting. So please do that. They're neat folks. We interviewed them one time here on the broadcast, and we're glad to have them aboard. Anyway, our guest is Charlie Stewart, and we're just having a good old time here. I don't think this guy could do... This guy, every program he ever appears is just... It's wonderful. I enjoy it. And this guy couldn't do a boring program of his life dependent on it, I don't think. And I just enjoy having him on every time we get a chance to. And we're chatting again on a whole host of issues. We talked in the first hour certainly about a plethora of things, including... His environment there, living off the grid. What are the pluses? What are the challenges? And so far,
DVD.
And his DVD, which is Alternative Power Video. And by the way, his website is www.alternativepowervideo.com. And he and his wife, Teresa, have a ministry there. And folks, go up there and check that website out. You'll not be disappointed. I enjoy it. I like going up there. I have it bookmarked as one of my bookmarks on the laptop upstairs, and I go in there every so often just to see what Charlie's been doing up there, and it's always a thrill. And like I say, this is a ministry for Charlie, and I'm going to go ahead and bring Charlie back on now. And Charlie, you also have people that tour your place there, don't you?
Yes, we do.
And just give us a real brief idea of some of the places you've had people come from in order to see what you're doing there.
Well, we've had people from a lot of the different states, and we've had people from as far away as Australia.
Wow!
Which is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, they had come over here on vacation and had made it a point to come by and see what we're doing here.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty neat. We used to be, I mean, just about weekly, we would have people coming through to visit us. It's probably been, I want to say a month or so since someone has been here.
Uh-huh.
But, we have people come from all over to see what we're doing here.
That's really wonderful. Charlie, you know, that's another thing I just really appreciate about you. You're not selfish with anything. So many people don't take the time to really reach out to others, and you guys are always doing that, and that's just such a blessing. It's so uncommon in this day. That's another thing that I find so disappointing in our world today is people are just off to themselves. They don't take the time to reach out to others, and then they wonder why they're in these messes where nobody reaches out to anybody because they've been conditioned. Like you said, we go back to this government issue again. And it all ties together, and you guys are out there. You're doing what you can for anybody that'll let you.
It does all go back to it, Sam. It's a mindset. It's a mindset that is not focused on the Word of God, and it's something that started a long, long time ago, and it just seems to be building like a snowball and heading in the wrong direction. And I wish I could see some positive you know, things as far as people waking up to see, you know, the error of the way. But man, I'm just not seeing it, you know, like I would like to see it. And in fact, I see the masses heading faster and faster toward their own destruction.
Yeah. And Scripture warns of such catastrophe.
Well, there's a principle of Scripture that's an eternal principle, and it's reaping and sowing, and that's what's happened. And there's another principle concerning reaping and sowing, which is probably even more applicable because I believe there are levels of it, and it's the Scripture that says if you sow to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what has been happening. And the problem is, Sam, is because there is a grave mistake that people are making, and it is because of, and you know, I have to think that, you know, you said a minute ago about not doing a boring show. Well, what I'm getting ready to say here in just a minute is certainly not going to be boring, and it's going to create a firestorm. And I just would hope that people would just, rather than attack what I'm going to say tonight and get defensive, that maybe they would just take a look back and say, now, wait a minute. You know, here we've been believing such and such for all this time. We've been, you know, thinking that this is the way things are, and yet things are continually getting worse and worse and worse. And the reason is, Sam, is because we've not been following the truth.
Yeah.
The churches are not teaching the truth. And that's the problem. The people have believed that the churches are teaching the Word of God. They believe that the churches are the lighthouse for Jesus Christ, and are teaching his words and teaching the principles that are found in the Scripture, but it simply is not so. And as a result of that, you know, David said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's exactly where we are today. And the foundations have been destroyed. The foundations have not been destroyed by bad politicians. They've not been destroyed by bad economists. They've been destroyed because people have believed the preacher, and the preacher was transformed into the minister of darkness.
Absolutely.
Well, how many times do you hear people say, my preacher says this, my preacher says that, and, you know, how many times do you hear that? A lot.
Trish, you wouldn't believe how many times in my own life. Teresa and I would be talking to somebody and just sharing the Word of God, just opening up and reading the Scriptures. And the response is, well, if you'll just talk to my preacher,
he'll tell you.
Yeah. Wait a minute. We're not talking to your preacher. You know, we're talking to you.
Right. That's right.
You mean to tell me that you trust eternity to another man?
Well, that's right.
You know, you don't care enough about your own eternity to know the Word of God for yourself and to know what the Scripture teaches. Instead, you're just going to trust some man to tell you what it is you're supposed to believe? Man, I'm faced with that all the time, Sam.
Well, I can tell you,
when
we lived up in Kansas City, Charlie, I used to hear things like, in the case of one preacher at a church we used to go to before we got out of it, once we really understood the truth, we had a person, you know, who commented to us, you know, because we were talking to this person about some of the stuff that was going on, how we would try to wake up people within this particular church and even try to talk to this minister, and they'd go in one ear and out the other.
Or
and the comment they'd say is, oh, but his heart is pure.
He's pure at heart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the problem, you know, that's how you get led astray when you start putting your faith and trust in man, because all, you know, we have to understand that man is not inherently good. If he were, why would he need a Savior?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, with that said, let me read something to you here.
Okay.
This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, it says, no marvel that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, is the scripture telling us that Satan has become good?
No.
It's the same principle of beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. It's the same principle. This is what the Word of God tells us over and over and over, is to watch what you're following. Look at the fruit. If the fruit is good, then, you know, the tree is good. But if the fruit is bad, the tree is bad. You know, this is what the admonition is from the Scripture. They warned us that Satan himself would be transformed into an angel of light.
Yeah.
Sam, I've got so much to cover in so little time. And I know that a lot of times, because, you know, you just don't have enough time in an hour.
I know.
That you can act, you can really turn people off and make them angry and stiff-necked, and you don't, you know, you just don't accomplish what you hope to accomplish.
Well, let me share this with the audience in case we have any out there that are like that. Charlie, you had to face these truths yourself. You used to be just an average churchgoer yourself at one time. Weren't you?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I was raised in the church. My dad was a preacher. I followed him in his footsteps, went to Bible college, went to go work in the churches. Man, I was gung-ho for the church. And, you know, there was a point in time, if the preacher said to go stand in the middle of the highway and sing Amazing Grace at 1 o'clock in the morning, I'd have been there at 12:55 warming up.
I was
gung-ho. And Sam, some things happened in my life that shook me and woke me up, and I'm telling you that I believe firmly in my heart today that if you have not rejected 99% of everything that the state church has taught you, it's because you don't know your Bible. The state church is that wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Dead wrong. This, for instance, you know, in our last broadcast that we did, you know, we talked about Romans chapter 13.
That's right, and you can find it on a website, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. It's still there.
Right, and we talked about how, for instance, the phrase "the powers that be." All right, you just turn on a church broadcast on Sunday morning, and you'll hear the preacher talk using the phrase "the powers that be," and he will use them in the same exact manner as if you're watching, you know, Meet the Press.
Yeah.
And you're listening to, you know, people that absolutely could care less about the Scripture, could care less about the Word of God, and they call the U.S. government the powers that be. It doesn't matter whether you go to church every day, or whether you don't go to church, or what, they all believe that the phrase, "the powers that be," which originated from the Word of God, refers to man's government. Well, Sam and Trish, that phrase does not refer to man's government. If you use the phrase, and I'm not saying you as in Sam and Trish.
Right. No, I understand.
If you use the phrase, "the powers that be," and you are referring to man's government, whether it is the United States, whether it is England, Germany, Iraq, Iran, North Korea, South, keep going on, keep naming them until you're done. If you call those entities the powers that be, you are doing destructive violence to the Word of God. Because man's government, which inherently is at odds with the Word of God, are not the powers that be. Because the powers that be are ordained of God. And there are special, specific requirements that must be met in order for someone to be the minister of God. And according to Romans chapters 12 and 13, the first requirement is they must be a practicing child of God.
Yeah.
They must be a follower of Jesus Christ in order to be the minister of God to thee for good based on Romans chapter 13. And again, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Okay? So here we've got Satan masquerading as an apostle of God. Well, is he an apostle of God? Of course not.
No.
But yet, the scriptures warn us about following false prophets and ministers of Satan that transform themselves into angels of light.
Yeah.
I am looking at Luke chapter 4, and I begin in verse number 1. The scripture says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they ended, he afterward was hungry. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain," now watch this, "showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." I'm going to read that to you again because I really want people to follow along with what's happening here.
Go ahead.
Number 5, Luke chapter 4. "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." Who does the Word of God say that the kingdoms of this world belong to?
They belong to Jesus Christ.
Well, the devil, listen to this again. "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give unto thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it."
Of course, the problem is, how can the devil give something to God that's already his to claim in the first place?
Here's the issue. The kingdoms of this world are the representative of the powers of darkness, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is being shown here. That's what's being said here. That's why I made the statement just a minute ago. If you call the U.S. government, if you call the government of North Korea, if you call Iraq, if you call Iran, if you call England, if you call Germany, if you refer to those as the powers that be,
right,
you are not reading the scriptures correctly.
Right.
It's those kingdoms that the, quote, devil was saying belongs to him.
Right. I got you now. Okay, I follow
that's
you.
That's the point I'm making. Again,
right.
Look at the fruit. You and I talked the other day when we were talking about this show for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about money, for instance.
Yeah.
Now, in the economy of God, God makes it very clear for his people, okay, not for Satan's people, not for people who don't claim Christ, but for his people, he wants his people to deal in honest weights and measures. He wants his people to deal in just weights. The scriptures say that the gold and the silver belong to the Lord. That's his money. That's what he wants for the economy of his people. What do the governments of this world operate on? They operate on debt. They operate on credit. They operate on interest. They operate on paper money. on and on and on it goes. I've got an 1828 Webster's Dictionary that I'm looking at right now, and I'm looking up the definition of money. Okay, now listen to this. Coin, stamped money, any piece of metal, usually gold, silver, or copper, stamped by public authority and used as the medium of commerce. We sometimes give the name of money to other coined metals and to any other material which rude nations use as a medium of trade.
Whoa.
Now, see, that was 1828. You know, that was before, well, paper money had been a part of the fabric of this civilization, you know, even before the U.S. Constitution came about,
right,
the last of the 1700s. But for a while there, the use of paper money was restricted. Even in this country, it was.
Yeah.
But, of course, now, you know, the whole thing is based on, and you've heard all the patriots talk about, you know, how you can take, you know, a silver certificate.
Oh, yes.
And you look at the silver certificate, and it's redeemable in silver. Or the gold certificate, which is redeemable in gold on demand.
Yep, I already saw through that one, Charlie.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And even the writing on the thing tells you that that piece of paper is not money.
Right.
But it was redeemable in money, which was gold or silver coin. So the point of what I'm making here is as the Lord Jesus said, he said, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Okay, and you know that good tree by the fruit that it bears. Now, we've got, quote, governments in this world today that finance themselves through debt, through credit, through paper money, through interest, all of which is contrary to the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now, are we going to say that that is the power of God to thee for good, or are those, quote, nations that deal that way, are they representatives of the powers of darkness?
Well, those would be the representatives of powers of darkness. That's how they do all their mischief, is through all this financing, through debt and credit.
That's exactly right. That's one of the ways that you identify what is the power of God and what is the power of darkness. Look at the fruit. The, quote, laws that the U.S. government passes and the states pass that are so openly, so blatantly, so obviously against the principles of the Scripture. Are they the powers of God to thee for good, according to Romans 13? Or are they representative of the powers of darkness?
Yep.
They are the powers of darkness.
Of darkness, absolutely. And so many preachers, they like to take that Romans 13 and really twist that around and do everything they can to make people enslaved to these powers of darkness.
And the reason that it happens, and the reason it happens with the preachers, is because of what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Hey, don't tell me, excuse me, that these men that constantly get up there and make laws upon laws upon laws upon laws that are blatantly contrary to the principles of the Word of God, do not tell me that they are the powers of God and that is what I'm supposed to obey.
And you know what's so sad about all this, Charlie? This, through all these laws, through this worthless paper money scheme, through this credit scheme, this is how all your assets are being liquidated from you. And most people have no idea, every time that we've had collapses, where we've had a financial collapse in this country, you know, we had one back, there was a depression in the 30s, all this stuff is engineered and coordinated, because what happens is very few people get very wealthy at the expense of the rest of the people out there. And it's all done through sleight of hand. I mean, the Federal Reserve, you know, is a deception. This is where this whole system really took its quantum leap, and it's totally unbiblical, because if you were in a biblical money system, you wouldn't have these financial collapses, right, Charlie?
Absolutely. And see, and this is the problem that we're in. People do not know the difference between the power of God and the powers of darkness. The churches have taught us all of our lives that this is unbelievably scary. The churches have taught and are still teaching to this day that the powers of darkness are in fact the powers of God. This is why the people believe that today that government is God. That's why they go to the government for protection. That's why they go to the government for work. That's why they go to the government for welfare. That's why they go to the government anytime they stub their toe. They go to the government. Had a little problem here several years ago, Sam. I was working out in my shop, and I got my fingers a little too close to the saw.
Oops.
And had a little problem with that and couldn't fix it myself. So went off to the emergency room. And, you know, I know how those people operate as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you spend a couple hours there, and before you know it, you've got a bill for several thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And so I knew I was messed up. I was messed up pretty bad. And as soon as I walked in there, you know, I told them, I said, look, people, I appreciate, you know, the fact that you're here for me, and I have voluntarily come to you. But I just need you to do the minimal amount that you can do. You know, clean me up, sew me up, and send me on down the road, because I do not have the money to pay you people what you're going to want for doing this.
Yeah.
And we're not interested in your money. You know, we're just here to help you. And I truly believe that they were.
Uh-huh.
And they did. They did a fantastic job of helping me. Every single one of them that walked in the room, I reaffirmed to them, you know, please just do the minimal amount that you can, get me out of here as quickly as possible, because I don't have the money to pay you.
Yeah.
And so anyway, you know, I had to go through some pretty extensive stuff on this little deal that happened to me, and the bill came to many, many, many thousands of dollars. And, you know, I didn't have, you know, here, I'm trying to get away from the Federal Reserve notes.
Yeah.
And I didn't have these thousands and thousands of dollars that they wanted to, you know, to fix my fingers. I ended up hurting three of them.
Yeah.
Well, when it all, you know, got done and they were ready to start talking about money, man, I told you guys all along I didn't have the money, but hey, I've got some talent. You know, I can trade you. I can, you know, work. I can do, you know, some things to try to, you know, to trade you to work this off.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first thing that came out of their mouth was, the government will help you.
Yeah.
I know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I said to this lady, and she was kind and sincere, I said, you don't understand. It is not my neighbor's job to pay my bills. I'm not going to be in a situation where you put a gun to my neighbor's head and say, cough up some money to pay for this guy's accident or mistake, which is exactly what happens when you, quote, go to the government to help you.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but that's the mindset that we have, that everything from cradle to grave revolves around man's government.
What finally wound up happening on that?
Well, I paid them as much as I possibly could, and they kept, you know, wanting me to sign some documents that said, you know, they wanted me to pay, you know, $500 a month, Trish.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I told them, I said, you don't understand. I said, if I had every penny of it to pay you, I'd pay you so fast, I'd be so happy to pay you, but I don't have it. Well, just sign this form. I said, but you don't understand. I can't sign a form that tells you I'm going to pay you $500 a month for the next however many years when I know full well I can't do it.
Yep.
Yeah, because you're not even in that paradigm.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, it might as well have been $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I explained to them about our ministry. I mean, I laid it all on the table,
mm-hmm.
you know, and explained to them, you know, where we're coming from, why we live the way we live, and, you know, we live by faith, and, you know, I told them I'll do whatever I can, but I can't tell you I'm going to do something. It's, you know, knowing full well that I'm not going to be able to do it.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
And so, anyway, after, oh, I don't know, probably a year of, I was sending them something. You know, every month I was sending them something. If I had it, I would send it.
Yeah.
Finally, about a year later, I got a letter from them and said that they're some type of fund that they have set up with that hospital said that they had decided to help our ministry and was going to totally 100% wipe away the debt.
Wow.
Which was pretty awesome.
And, yeah.
It was pretty neat the way that all worked out. But
and see, that whole thing too is all a part of this dark money system. The fact that it would cost you so much for no longer than you were in there.
Well, you know, I looked at the itemized bill, Sam, and you know, they put some screws in. There's two or three screws stuck in one of these fingers here, and you know, the itemized bill was $400 per screw.
Oh man.
Yeah, and they charged me $27 for a roll of gauze. I mean, it was amazing. I mean,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was really something. And you know, I'd have people tell me, well, you know, you can go in there and you can dispute this and you can dispute that, and you know, they'll lower the bill and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I went in and I said, look, I said, you don't know how much I appreciate what you guys did for me. You know, I mean, I came to you for help, and you helped me. And if I could pay you, I'd pay you every penny without question.
Yeah.
What you were asking from me. But I said, but I don't have it.
Yeah.
And I don't see that I will have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, man, I just laid it on the table. And, you know, they ended up, like I said, they ended up just wiping the thing out, which I thought was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was private money. It wasn't government money.
Yeah.
That
mm-hmm.
did that. So.
Well, see, and that's the thing that just so disgusting, because it's gotten so expensive now that the governments, and that's the whole problem behind this whole scheme of the way insurance, once again, the road to hell, really, Charlie, for lack of a better explanation, was paved with all kinds of good intentions, even when insurance came out, because there was a time when doctors would make house calls and it didn't cost anything like what we pay today, but because of employers wanting to take insurance on as a plum to entice employees to come over their direction, and then of course ultimately the federal government, they have to get their hand in everything, and of course the church backed out of the way so that the federal government could get into Social Security and everything else,
well,
as they always do.
The church paved the way.
Yeah, and as a result, now, the churches are not in half of the ministry work that they really should be in, and the federal government is in probably 99.75% of it, soon to be 100% of it.
Sure. And we need to look at these church organizations for exactly what they are. They are not in the ministry business. They are in the business of facilitating the lie that the U.S. government and the state governments whether they're in the U.S., whether they're in England, Germany, and you name it, on and on and on, they're in the business of facilitating the lie that those are the powers that be.
Yeah.
That those powers are ordained of God, and they're not. They're exactly what the devil told Jesus in Luke chapter 4 when he said, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." We've got to understand that there is the power of God, and there are the powers of darkness. And the powers of darkness are what is ruling this world today. And that is what the child of God is supposed to be coming out of. That's what the child of God is supposed to be shining the light on. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We've got somehow this concept that the follower of Christ is in a battle with the boogeyman.
Yeah.
Okay, the boogeyman doesn't exist. The battle is with the powers of darkness, because the powers of darkness are doing everything they can to legislate the principles of the Word of God out of civilization. That's what the job of the powers of darkness is. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, and then it make it worse, Charlie, is these people in the churches who say, well, don't interfere with the agenda of these powers of darkness, because that's the way God planned it, because this is the end of the world, and because it's the end of the world, and if you interfere with it, then you're going to interfere with God's plan. I mean, what more darkness could you be spewing forth?
That's exactly right, Sam. So consequently, you have people in these churches that are telling everybody that God wants you to obey Satan, that God wants you to obey the powers of darkness. And that is absolutely not what the Word of God teaches. God never told his people to follow the powers of darkness. But see, the problem is this smokescreen has been created, in that people think that the powers of darkness is a ghost, you know, haunting houses,
yeah,
or, you know, haunting buildings, or making,
yeah,
you know, that is not what the Scripture teaches. The battle is against principalities. It's against powers. It is against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what it's about. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." The governments that are, quote-unquote, that are in place in this world today are doing everything they can to destroy the knowledge of God. You see it in their educational institutions.
Yeah.
You see it in their policies. You know, here's something that I tell you, I just don't understand why people won't take a look at this. Here you've got, you know, these states over in the, and I say states, I mean, I say quote unquote, because I do not legitimize them.
Yeah.
Okay. But you've got these quote unquote states up in the Northeast that have done everything they can to legitimize sodomy.
Yeah.
To the point where they've, you know, legalized and recognized sodomite marriages and things like this. Well, you know what? I got an email the other day from a guy. I get lots of emails, and I'm sure you do too. And it was a patriot guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how his law is based on the Bill of Rights and the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And it was we the people that have got to take it back. Well, you know what he needs to understand? is that when he says, we the people of the United States, he needs to understand that he has just united himself with sodomites. Because it's the United States, Sam. It's not Missouri. It's not Indiana. It's not Alabama. It's not Massachusetts. It's the United States.
Yeah.
They're all in it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as long as people continue to carry on with this business of we the people, well, they need to understand that all of the evil that is being done and carried out by, quote, their government is done in their name, and it makes them guilty.
Absolutely.
This is not a matter of getting back to the Constitution. This is not a matter of getting back to the Bill of Rights. This is a matter of getting back to the Word of God and being able to distinguish between the powers of God and the powers of darkness.
Let me ask you a question. Now, I'm asking this as, quote-unquote, for lack of a better explanation, what some people would call devil's advocate, because, you know, we've talked about this to some extent, I think, before on past broadcasts, Charlie, but there's always new listeners, and I always like to pose questions out there just so if there's anybody that's thinking along these lines, you have a chance to nip it in the bud, and that is this. Let's suppose we have a person out there in the audience who is saying, well, how do you get back to the Word of God when this group believes this, that group believes that, and all this kind of stuff? Well, it's obvious that the only reason that you have this problem is because, from my vantage point, there's only one truth. And if there's one truth, then you know, it doesn't make any sense that we would have all these groups out there. And that's why I always encourage people, well, don't worry about what all these other groups are doing. You look it up for yourself. What would you say, Charlie?
Do you remember a man in the Bible named Joshua?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My point is this. Joshua established the way to serve God a long time ago. And he said, it's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Joshua was saying, I don't care what the rest of you do. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord is done on a community basis. And it is made up in this community of families, which are headed up by a godly man who will lead his family. And if that godly man leading his family is the only one that will serve the Lord, then so be it. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world is doing. Like Joshua said, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, well, you've got to choose this day whom you're going to serve. Sam, you've got to know that there are lots of people out there who think that the way I live and the way I'm raising my family and the way we do things is evil.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
I bet you've gotten a lot of flack over it.
Well, there are quite a few who believe that the way we live is evil. And I would say to them exactly what Joshua said. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, well, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served. See, that's our problem. We're still following the gods of our fathers. And the gods of our fathers have sold us a bill of goods. Tell me what good father leaves their children with debt so high that they'll never get out from under it. What kind of good father does that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, good point.
Whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. Oh, so you feel like you need to serve the gods in whose land you dwell in. Well, that's interesting. No, Joshua said, I don't care where I happen to be. I don't care whose land they think it happens to be. where I'm living. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've had people try to tell me that, well, the governments, they're the ones who build all the roads, and they own the roads. Really? Where did they get the materials to build those roads? They didn't create those materials.
No, absolutely not.
They don't own those roads. They don't own those highways. As a matter of fact, when Jesus told his disciples to go into the highways and byways, you know what he was saying? I own the roads. How else could he have the authority to tell his disciples to go into the highways and byways?
Yeah.
Because he owned them.
Yeah.
So see, here we've got this thing so off track, and it all goes back to not understanding the difference between the powers of God and the powers of darkness. The powers of God can be shown to the world through one man and his family. No matter what the rest of the world does, the powers of God can be displayed with one man and his family. See, that's the difference, again, between the powers of darkness and the powers of darkness are doing everything they can to bring about globalism. I hear these patriots talk all the time about things like the states don't have any rights. You know, the states are losing their rights, and the communities are losing their rights, and this and that and the other. And the reason is because local community is what the Scripture teaches, is the way that the principles of the Word of God are to be shown to the world, through the local community made up of families who are headed up by a godly man who will do like Joshua did and said, hey, you make your own decision whether it's evil to serve the Lord or not, but as for me and my house, that's what we're going to do.
And this makes an excellent springboard here for what I'm about to say, Charlie, and that is, if what you just said weren't so true, why are governments around the world, ours included, various agencies associated with them, tax-exempt agencies, why are they doing everything they can covertly to destroy families? Because families that are close, they don't fall for things. They don't get themselves in all kinds of mischief, like families that are all split up and kids running here and there everywhere, being stuck in every daycare center and social service agency out there. They don't. Families that stick together, families that take the time to really get to know one another, work together, they survive things better. They can't. These globalist people out here, they can't have that. If they want you, if they want to deceive you and get you to look to the state as Almighty God, well, the first thing they have to do is to destroy the family unit. And this is exactly why we need more families that work together, more families that work together, create a community that works together.
Yeah, which that word's gotten a bad rap too.
Yeah, it has, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's amazing because that is the definition of, you know, you and I have talked about the fact that the word English word church should not even be in our English Bibles. And it comes from the Greek ekklesia, which means called out Christian community of believers.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing, Sam, is, you know, the follower of a Christ should have no other law book other than the Word of God. That's it. The Scriptures tell us there's only one lawgiver. That's what the Bible tells us. The follower of Christ needs no other law in his life but the Word of God. And yet, people have got this idea that it's okay for a group of men to go to, quote, Washington, D.C., and to make laws for you that affect the way you live, and you're a thousand miles away from them.
Yeah.
How could they possibly make laws for people who live thousands of miles away? That's unbelievable. That's why, for the follower of Christ, he's got the law. It's right there in his hands. He doesn't need to get some men together and send them off hundreds of miles from where they are and say, okay, you decide how I'm going to live my life.
Yeah, that is an interesting point.
Well, but if you really think about it, I mean, it's insanity.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
And yet, not only do they do that, but their preachers tell them, if you don't go along with this scheme, then you're resisting God. They've got the thing completely turned around. The powers of darkness now have become the powers of God. And the powers of God are now turned into the powers of darkness.
Yeah.
This is why when Jesus came on the scene and set the record straight, and he was king, he was the king for God's people. Now his disciples went through the countryside, and the scripture says that they turned the world upside down, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. Now that's what the Word of God says. Man, if we're not in a desperate need of turning things upside down, I don't know. I don't know. And yet I still talk to people all the time, Sam, who think there's not a thing wrong anywhere.
I know. I'm amazed.
Yeah.
I know. I agree with you. Absolutely. Yeah. But well, wouldn't you agree with me on the one comment that I made a while ago that's the whole reason the family is being destroyed in this country, because you can't take over a nation effectively with good strong family units.
Well, sure, and that's basically I was trying to feed in with you there on what you were saying.
Yeah,
the kingdom of Christ is made up of families.
Right.
So when you see the assault against the kingship of Christ, it follows. The assault is on the family.
Right.
Destroy the family, because the kingdom of Christ is based on the local, called out Christian community of believers. And that community is made up of families. So the powers of darkness attacking the powers of God, attacking the kingdom of Christ, they've got to assault the family.
Absolutely.
But we don't identify it. We don't see it. Because even though most people, you know, patriots out there, they love to rail against globalism. And yet, what they don't understand is if you give somebody the, quote, power to make laws from you 10 miles from where you live, you're a globalist. You are a globalist. It's the same mindset. The follower of Christ has all the law he needs, and it's in his own home. It's the law book. It is the law, Word of God.
Absolutely. And that's an interesting point, because, see, the whole thing, Charlie, if you obey the law of God, you won't go out and steal from your neighbor. You won't go out and kill your neighbor or bear false witness against your neighbor, for example. You know, we've talked about the Ten Commandments, and one of the things that you and I had a conversation about earlier, when you really come right down to it, this whole country could survive on nothing more than the Ten Commandments. Wouldn't you say? The Ten Commandments.
I would have some agreement with that. I think you have to expound upon it, but
right.
But we've got to get back to understanding, you know, what the principles of the Word of God are, and how it applies, and we're not there, Sam.
No, I mean,
we're not there.
There are books. I mean, you want to read a book that's rich with how a child of God is supposed to be. I mean, there's plenty of places, but I'll just pick one right off the bat. Proverbs is a good book to go through. That's one of them I can think of right off the bat, Charlie.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, you can for instance, you go to, I believe it's Psalm chapter 15.
Yeah.
In Psalm chapter 15, the writer is asking a question, is asking, you know, how are we going to dwell in the tabernacle of God? And one of the answers was, don't put your money out to usury. Don't put your money out for interest.
Yeah.
Don't hear that preached in the churches.
No, we're not even supposed to charge each other interest. I mean...
Well, that's right. And churches are too busy forcing their members to take out second mortgages on homes so that they can fund the church buildings.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I know.
It's amazing. And here again, you know the tree by its fruit. You know, the scripture is very clear. God's people are not supposed to be in debt. God's people are not supposed to be in debt. And yet, how can the quote-unquote preacher, how can he preach against debt? He's got the people that fill the pews. Hey, Sam, when I was in quote-unquote Bible college, they told you one of the ways to keep people faithfully coming to your church is to get them saddled with debt.
Yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
Then they have a sense of obligation.
Yeah.
You know, if people think that they voted for this debt or they voted for this bond issue, then they're less likely to leave. Hey, if that's not a scam, I don't know what is.
Yeah, that's pretty bad when the scams, you know, are right in the church. You
another
know,
thing they'll say is if you're in a class to learn about finances, you know, in the church, they'll tell you that a mortgage is not a debt because it's under contract.
Well, you know what? you even look at the word mortgage, M-O-R-T.
I know.
You know. What words do we get from M-O-R-T? Mortician, mortuary, I can't even.
Mortuary.
Say mortuary. And so M-O-R-T is death.
Yeah.
Are followers of Christ supposed to be hooked up with stuff like that? Of course not.
No.
We're supposed to be light. We're supposed to be walking in the light as He is in the light.
But I couldn't believe it. Of course, this was supposedly taught by a Christian lawyer. Isn't that an oxymoron?
Well, you know, the Lord Jesus did never have anything good to say about lawyers.
That's for sure.
Never.
But I couldn't... I could actually believe it because, you know, we were sitting there and I said, wait a minute here. I was always taught that a mortgage was a debt. They said, well... It's not because it's under contract and somebody can come back and get it.
You notice how
it's
they wiggle around. You notice how they wiggle around and you know that's folks. That's deception if there ever was any.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anytime you owe people money for anything, it doesn't matter what it is, it's a debt.
Yeah.
It's amazing the scams, even right in the churches, ladies and gentlemen. I mean,
they also do taxes in the church.
Well,
too.
Yeah, boy. I mean, remember what Christ said about the tax collectors and the money changers in the temple? And I mean, just how bad it was, Charlie. We used to attend this church we went to up in Kansas City, in the Kansas City area. They were literally. Now we didn't do it, but there were a lot of them who did, who took out second mortgages on their homes to help finance the million-dollar building that they had built.
And the preacher was up there saying, why? What, it was such a blessing that people would be willing to take out second mortgages to put into the building fund. And, you know, another thing they did was they had a tax clinic. Well, you know, people that would help the elderly pay their taxes.
Yeah, I mean they were doing this right up in one of the Bible study rooms, and I thought, boy, you talk about a slap against the Lord now.
And then they had a community-oriented policing meeting.
Oh, they did all kinds of stuff like this.
Which is about as communist as you'll get.
But I thought about that whole issue. You know, Christ was angry when he ran those tax collectors and money changers out of the temple. What more do you need?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what this person says. Boldly in front of everybody. And now, of course, they'd say, well, it wasn't as a church function, but it was in the building. But anyway, they would say, we want to fix it so that you can pay your city water bill and your city taxes right here.
At the church.
And we confronted them about that and said, didn't Christ have something to say about the money changers? And didn't he get rather upset?
Yeah, and of course they just blow that off. But, I mean, this is the kind of deception that's going on, Charlie.
Yeah, well, pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yes. I'm this broadcast has been a little bit of a hard broadcast tonight, but I'm sorry. But that's why we're here. Somebody's got to do it. You know, that's why we're out here. Somebody's got to do it. You know, so it may as well be us out here. And, I don't know what else to say. Charlie, we're getting down close to the end of the hour.
Yes.
What do you have to say for our audience? Obviously, we love having you back every so often, so this is by no means the last visit by any stretch, but I always like to have you leave a good parting thought with our audience.
Well, the only thing that I'd like to kind of sum it up, Sam, is, don't get angry with the messenger. Don't get angry with the message. You know, we've got some real problems and we need to face them. We need to face them head on. And there's a very significant and real reason why it seems like God has turned His face away from us. And it's because we've turned our face against Him, and we have fallen for some deceptions. We've fallen for some lies. It's used an awful lot, but it's so true. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And, man, I mean, it's so prevalent. It's so pervasive in civilization. It's just amazing how deceived we as a people are. And it's simply because we have not been able to understand the difference between the powers of God and the powers of darkness.
Absolutely. Well, Charlie, I'll tell you what. I always enjoy our visits together. You minister to me every time I have you on, and I always learn something new. And I appreciate you challenge me to research. And it's always when somebody can really challenge me, that's when the whole issue of the God's Word really comes alive and really takes shape and takes form. And I really appreciate you taking the time and spending the time that you do up here. And I sure hope and pray to God that there's a lot of other people who do as well. And I also want to encourage our audience, go and visit Charlie's website. You'll find a lot of stuff up there, too. Please get that DVD. That is a wonderful thing. The website is www.alternativepowervideo.com. We'll have a link right next to this broadcast where you can actually take right off over there from our website. And Charlie, it's always great to do this, and trust me, it's not the last one. As long as we got stuff to keep bringing to the plate, we'll keep coming back at it.
Well, good, because I sure enjoy it, Sam.
Well, absolutely.
Thank you for coming up.
All right, well, stay on the line, and I'll pick you up here in just a second, Charlie. And that's going to do it for us here at the Information Corner. Stay right there, Charlie. I'll get you in just a minute.
Okay.
And, folks, next week, we'll be back with another edition, and we'll do it all over once again. It's always new information and always challenging information. And sometimes some of the stuff you're going to hear here is going to be things that you're not always going to like to hear. But, you know, we need to hear hard truths, and that's what we're here for at the Information Corner. I'm Sam.
And I'm Trish.
And as we always say, go out and fight the battle and let God decide the outcome. We will see you next week. Bye-bye now.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Information Corner. Visit our website at www.theinformationcorner.com. And be sure to tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of the Information Corner.